Things getting dramatic.
I don't even know what to say.
Just,
I'm fucking blown away.
I mean, how he switched up the animation style and shit for that one.
I know, dude. He's versatile.
Yeah. Dude, I gotta be honest with you guys.
He's got versatility.
He changed it up.
I'm fucking disappointed.
You're disappointed?
Why? Because it wasn't wearing a Mountain Dew jersey or something?
Yeah, dude, it wasn't, dude. This guy's artistic vision is wrong.
Just you can't even call it an autistic vision.
I don't know, man.
Just wrong, dude.
By the way, that dude's name is on YouTube like Cobra Entertainment or something like
cool.
that. He posts all this stuff on his channel, but no one ever goes and looks at it.
We should link him, man. He's a talented dude.
It's hard because we have a default description that lists our animator for our intro as the guy that does the intro for our main show. So I'm kind of confused about how to delineate it. But maybe we could just say, like, Flash Ride intros by such and such.
Just link him on the Flash Ride intros.
I mean, he's been doing it for 13 weeks now, so he seems like he's pretty committed to it.
I mean, I have to see how it ends. If it ends, maybe it'll never end.
He has told me that this storyline is coming to.
Oh, it has an arc.
It has an arc, and it has a planned conclusion of some kind. So
okay.
There is a story that has a set ending, and he says that we're near the end. So
I don't know. Cool.
I don't know how many episodes are left in his little mini series, but yeah. I definitely have been enjoying the ride.
Me too.
It's been some ups and downs. There have been some red herrings, like Paul joining the Navy that never happened.
Oh, Paul he didn't, I mean, come on.
You didn't think I was actually going to join the fucking Navy, did you?
I don't know.
I say a lot of shit when I'm stoned, TJ.
Maybe it's going to come back. Maybe he's going to tie it back. Maybe at the end, Paul's
going
like,
to be a fucking space marine.
Tell you shit, you guys. I'm going to the Navy. You know?
Maybe. Who knows, dude?
And then the YMCA, you know.
Oh, that,
YMCA,
that'll never happen.
In the Navy, you can see.
Maybe I'll show
seas.
Up with a fucking, like, aircraft carrier or something to beat the
TJ, aliens. I got a couple fucking issues with you.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm going to just elucidate these issues I have.
Okay? Look how much bigger I am than you, Scotty.
Yeah, you are bigger.
Look at that. I fill my whole box. You guys are just little specks.
I mean, you are pretty fucking fat.
Tiny
so,
specks.
I mean, fat people tend to take up more space.
Dude, TJ, you're wearing the loudest shirt ever.
Yeah.
It's awesome, dude.
My fashion sense, or lack thereof, gets louder over
Your
the years.
Your shirt reminds me legitimately of the shirt that I wore to Waylon's wedding. Waylon had me as a, like,
dude.
So... He had a shotgun wedding.
I don't mean to derail your story,
but I
got a fucking issue with this fucking dude. And I'll definitely want to get to that story.
No, please go ahead.
This motherfucker broke his fucking toilet seat in the guest bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
And naturally...
What am I supposed to do if I got to take a dump, TJ?
Yeah, we were forced to fucking take a shit on the fucking
cold-ass
porcelain.
I got a dump at your place now?
No, I've just sat in the porcelain. I'm like, fuck this dude.
I'm just going to go dig a hole in the backyard and shit in that.
TJ.
What?
Fix your fucking toilet seat, you fucking piece
At
of
least
degenerate
get the,
shit.
Put the broken one in there so I can, like...
And I know your ass broke it because you've broken every fucking
no,
toilet seat you've
you know,
ever had
actually,
in your life.
It was not me that broke it. You know who really...
Who
know,
the
who
fuck
broke
was it?
It
then?
It was your fucking dog, dude.
My
His dog.
It was Jean-Luc, dude.
I like how... My fucking dog...
It was.
Broke the fucking toilet seat.
It was. I'm legit.
You're a lying son of a bitch, dude.
He jumped in there. He jumped on the seat and the seat
you've
fucking tore off.
You've got to be kidding me. So you're saying my dog did it?
Yes.
But one, it's not my dog. It's Taylor's dog.
Well, whatever.
Two,
Taylor's
I find that
dog
hard to believe because you've broken every toilet seat since I was a fucking kid.
I've never. I mean, whatever. But I might have broken a toilet seat. But
because you know what,
your
Gina
dog
does?
Broke that
he puts,
shit.
He puts
dude.
His fat ass down on it. He slams into it, and then to get up, he grabs those little hand towel things, like you know, like or if like towels.
Oh, the towel rack.
He grabs a towel rack and tries to lift himself up, so all those end up breaking in his fucking house too.
Whatever.
You pull yourself up on the towel rack?
I know you guys notice our new shitty backdrop that doesn't exist? Well, because TJ's cat took a shit on it.
Yeah, it was a big
Squex.
Diuretic shit, too.
Yeah, Squex will do that.
Well, he was sick. He went out somewhere, he ate something he shouldn't have.
So where's our replacement one?
There's not a replacement, it's just in the washer.
Are you sure it's the best way to treat that? Make sure you think into a dry cleaner.
Nah.
Nah, I know best, I'm just TJ. I'm just right about every fucking thing. Well, thanks a lot, asshole.
Anyway, Paul, you were talking about my beautiful shirt. So.
Yeah, but what's your Waylon thing?
He had a shotgun wedding in the middle of fucking August in the Central Valley.
Oh, like, God.
The woman he was marrying was like eight and a half months pregnant or something like that. And we got like 2 weeks before the wedding, we get the call that we're best men or whatever, that we're groomsmen. And we show up to the place where we're supposed to get fitted for our shit, and the dude brings out this shirt. I shit you not, the shirt TJ's wearing. I'm like, are you fucking serious? Is it heavy as fuck, like polyester?
I think it's light, isn't it?
Okay, it's a light shirt. See, it looks like that shirt, but this shirt was like the heaviest fucking disco polyester shirt.
Oh my God.
And it's fucking like, and the wedding's in August. Dude, you have no idea. By the time that the fucking wedding started, by the time the bride walked, waddled down the aisle, 9 months pregnant, like, we were all so drenched in fucking sweat, dude. That was the most horrible wedding.
Of course, like, it was outdoors, right?
I hate to say this because I know TJ's wedding is coming up, but fuck, dude, I hate weddings. They all suck. Maybe this will be the best wedding I've ever
gone
to.
You're going to like mine, dude.
All right, hopefully so.
Because basically, it's just going to be a giant Halloween party that has a wedding at some point.
Dude,
cool.
So that's what was smart about my wedding. Paul, because I really like Paul. Like, Paul, come at this
wedding
thing.
Well, but you know what I heard as I was leaving? Dude, I remarked to Taylor. I was like, Taylor, fucking, that was the most effortless, awesome, beautifully presented wedding ever, dude. Great job. And she was like, well, that's just the pre-wedding. This is just the pre-wedding. There's going to be an actual ceremony at some point. And I was like, oh, Scotty.
Dude, can we not?
I have tried to avoid it as long as possible. I'm like fighting with
Taylor. Oh, Scotty.
I'm like, dude.
Oh, you're in for it. You're going to get bent over on this one, my friend. Dude, I've been down that road. TJ's been down that road.
I got to remain strong.
I know what that means, dude. No, dude, there's no way.
Strong, dude.
You can hold out for a while, but I'm just letting you know, dude, you're dying on this hill.
I was there the day the strength
she will
of
win
men
this
fell.
One. Dude, she will win this one.
she probably will.
You can hold out, though. Hey, I'll stand with you.
I gotta be like, dude, like fucking 300, dude. Thermopylae, dude. I'm fucking, I gotta hold the fucking pass, dude. Hold the fucking pass.
All right, man.
So how's our $10 chat doing today? How's our chef's table motherfuckers? How y'all doing? How many of y'all
what's
are in
up?
Here right
what's
now?
What's
Let's
up?
See.
There's a bunch of them in here. I see the chat moving at a lively pace. If you want to be one of the people that gets to watch this live and comment and chill with us afterwards in the Discord, you can become a patron right
patron!
Now over at Pessimist Productions.
Motherfucking patron! Pessimist Productions.
Now,
the buffet
is $5.
Bitch, yeah.
It doesn't give you access to this, but if you want all the rest of the stuff, join the buffet. You want a little extra? Join the chef's table. That's $10 a month.
Chef's table is like the dessert.
And very briefly to go into this, we've actually talked to a company today, and we're very excited about some possibilities, getting some like an iOS, an Android app, and other interesting things.
A lot of exciting things on the horizon, but for the patrons, we're working on a stopgap archive solution for you guys. It's going to be a while till the website rolls out, so in the meantime, we're going to be working on a solution for you guys. Stay tuned. In the next few days, you'll have that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, without further ado, let us go ahead and get into the various newses of the day.
Oh man, I can't wait.
Newses.
I just can't wait, TJ. I look forward
to
this.
I'm gonna tell you
day.
What, Paul. Today is a goofy ass motherfucking day.
It's a
for
goofy
news.
Day every fucking day on
no,
this.
No, I mean
shit.
It's a goofier day than usual today for the news.
Good.
I would say we've got some weird fucking stories today.
Good.
Are we gonna play the Trump mystery game again or not? Are we just gonna be honest? Is
the Trump mystery game?
Oh, because remember, Paul...
I always wring my hands as to whether or not...
I am pretty fucking sure that we have maybe not no Trump, but very little Trump.
All right. There's a sprinkling of Trump as there should be.
I don't even think that there's a big Trump story on this, because I'm just sick of him. I mean, my last video on my channel was just about, man, can we shut up about this fucking bloviating retard already?
I mean, I hate to be reductive, but no.
Yeah,
we just can't.
I mean, I agree that he's the president, he's doing some things that should be covered, but a lot of the shit they cover on him is just fucking retarded.
And it's constant.
And it's just nonstop.
Trump had a
so
crumb
of
food
in
his mouth.
So this is kind of, in the periphery of Trump, this is about Mike Pence. So Vice President Mike Pence quotes Bible in response to being called Christian supremacist.
Oh.
Washington. Vice President Mike Pence turned to the Bible when asked recently what he makes of a new critical biography that calls him a Christian supremacist. The Bible says, count it all joy when you endure trials of many kinds.
Does he ever think that, like, when he's getting called out for being a Christian supremacist, maybe quoting the Bible directly after that, maybe not the best move?
And he says, anytime I'm criticized for my belief in Jesus Christ, I just breathe a prayer of praise. You're not being criticized for your belief in Jesus Christ. You're being criticized for being a Christian supremacist.
You see, here's how a non-Christian supremacist answers this allegation. I respect people of all faiths. I have mine. I respect everybody's right to have their own faith or lack of faith as they see fit in their life. That's how you answer it. That's what a non-Christian supremacist says. You know what a Christian supremacist says when they're called out for being one? Every time someone attacks me for my open faith, I breathe a sigh of joy and grace. Yeah, that's what a Christian supremacist says, dipshit.
Every time someone brings up the Bible, I like to read some, you know, Bible quotes. Slaves, be subject to your masters with all reverence, not only to those who are good and equitable, but also to those who are perverse.
So revere your perverse master. Yeah. That
when a man sells his daughter,
come into my bedchamber so that I may fist your butthole.
Here's another one. When a man sells
indeed,
his
master. Thank God for your glorious fist in my buttocks. Yes. Oh, yes, indeed.
You guys don't like that? Here's another one. When a man sells his daughter as a slave, she will not be freed at the end of 6 years as the men are. If she does not please the man who bought her, he may allow her to be bought back again.
Oh, that's a beautiful
sexual slavery. 6 year trial period on the girl. That's fun.
I don't want to buy her again.
This bitch ain't all that. You could take her back.
Think if you got that on a car.
So quote the Bible. I mean? You're right. Let's listen to this book for our morality, you fucking idiot.
In the Shadow of the President, the truth about Mike Pence came out this week. I hate Mike Pence, I don't think I want to read a book about how much I should hate him. Like, it just seems like a waste of time to give a shit.
I want
to
read that new Bob Woodward book about Trump, though.
Yeah. That's going to be good.
That sounds like a juicy tabloid snack.
Why? It's all fake news, Paul.
I mean, it's a Bob Woodward book, so let's be honest. Like, he puts quotation marks routinely around recalled conversations from unnamed sources.
So then unnamed source said to me.
Yeah.
It's like,
but whatever, it's still fun.
Look, it's hearsay of the book.
Yeah, for sure.
That's basically
110%. And a good chunk of it is probably Bob Woodward's fantasies about what's going on in the Trump orbit, the book.
Yeah, well,
but whatever, it's still fun.
Florida man hired Thursday, fired Sunday, tries to kill boss 2 hours later, police
say. I just started laughing now. Looks like they made a good decision to fire him.
All right, that's just bullshit. So
that's a shitty and annoying.
Police in Sanford, Florida, arrested a man for allegedly trying to kill his boss 2 hours after he was fired. The manager told police that Juan Lewis, 23, chased him from Bonata Aluminum Products on Jewett Lane and started firing into his car.
Damn.
Different manager told WFTV that Lewis had only worked there Thursday and was fired Sunday morning for throwing supplies and tools on the ground. Lewis was fired, then waited for his district supervisor outside for 2 hours, the manager said. Investigators said Lewis then chased the manager and his girlfriend for a mile and a half. The girlfriend told police she heard about 5 shots. The arrest report states bullet holes were found in the rear bumper, trunk door, and right rear tire of the manager's car. The manager and his girlfriend were not hurt. Lewis was later arrested at his home. According to Seminole County court records, Lewis had several drug and theft charges since 2014. Lewis is being held on $46,000 bond. Let's get this guy out of jail, guys. Let's start a GoFundMe for Lewis. Let's get him free.
Okay.
Let's get him back on the streets.
Let's do it. I mean, everybody has fantasized about doing this to their boss. So.
Second chance.
Yeah, man. Whatever. He was just living out our fantasies.
I mean, yeah. What motherfucker...
You guys want to live vicariously
who works
through
a job
that...
like this doesn't fantasize about shooting
boss
in the head?
No. Let me just stop you right fucking there. If this guy had worked there for 10 years and this guy was a dick to him or something, that's a fantasy. Not, he worked there for a day, didn't make it, didn't cut it there because he was an asshole that wasn't doing the job seriously, so they fucking shit-canned him. And then instead of being an adult and saying, well, got to move on with my life, he waited for 2 hours, lying in wait, saying, I'm going to kill these motherfuckers.
Fire you.
And
fire
then
me from my job. I'm going to fire you from life, bitch.
Yeah.
Pat, pat,
that's
pat,
not traumatic.
Pat, pat.
Hey, TJ, I'm sure someone chased you with a gun and was trying to kill you. Yeah, you have the same opinion of this story.
Well, no, but he was chasing this guy, so it's okay.
It's not okay, TJ. What do you mean it's okay?
I love TJ's rationalizations.
Well,
of shit.
If it was happening to me, I agree.
It's
but
the
it's happening
greatest
to some
thing.
Random asshole in Florida, so who
yeah,
gives
TJ, because you really want to leave your house after someone tried to murder you.
Quit trying to make me empathize with this boss. I ain't going to do it.
I hate this motherfucker.
Mother gives 3-year-old son swirly. Video posted to Facebook. Death threats follow.
Dude, what the fuck?
The Parenting Olympics.
So here's the video, I guess.
You've been bad. You about to get a swirly.
I'm going to put your head in the toilet, boy. I'm going to put your head up in this toilet now.
Effective parenting.
Here we go.
When, dude, when like, your mom no! when your mom is an 80s and 90s high school bully,
I know,
what
seriously.
The fuck, dude?
Dude, everybody's got to get a swirly now and again, dude. You got to get a swirly.
Dude, Paul, you're not supposed to
Paul,
get the swirly
too fat
from
to get
your mom.
Yeah, you are, dude.
You
fuck
are?
This kid. You're supposed to get a swirly. Dude, he needed a swirly. She gave him a swirly.
It's just what? A new hairstyle,
like,
you know?
If
have you ever got a swirly, Paul?
If she grabbed him by his hand and beat his ass, would you be any less
dude,
fucking pissed off?
Did anyone
off?
Actually get swirlies, though? I mean, it's one of those things where you saw it in a movie.
That's never happened to me.
I never got a swirly.
A mom is under investigation after a video shows her dunking her 3-year-old son in a toilet appeared on Facebook.
Who's trying to get him clean?
Caitlin Wolf said the swirly was just a joke taken out of context. My sons and I horseplay rough. We stuck his head in the toilet and flushed it. My older son was recording it. At the end of the video, the child can be heard saying, God, that's mean. The Leeburg Police Department said it received multiple calls and messages about the video. The incident is currently under investigation by the Department of Children and
what
Families.
What a waste of time.
And detectives are also working with state attorney's office to determine appropriate
look,
criminal
let's
prosecution.
Let's be honest what this really is. If this woman wanted to get a fucking viral hit, and a lot of people are doing this nowadays, like, oh, this will go viral. Old people want to see this. And occasionally they go viral, but for the wrong fucking reasons. And she clearly did it for the wrong reason because people are like, dude, when it comes to the internet, if you do some shit with kids or animals that anyone can even possibly perceive it as abusive, you're going to get reported. Dude, like,
dude,
whatever area you live in, they're calling the police on
the
you.
The pussification of America. Dude, I know you guys' dads played some mean pranks on you
oh,
at some
of course.
Point. Dude, my parents did mean shit to me all the time. It's part like you. That's part of the growing up is getting fucked on. You know what I mean? This kid, if this was a pattern of abuse, you know what I mean? It'd be one thing, but clearly this kid wasn't fucking ruined by having his head swirlied.
I think that this kid is going to grow up to be a serial
what's
killer
that?
From the trauma.
Dude, what's that fucking
of this incident?
What's that fucking video you got like so much flag for? Like you defended like, Daddy of Five or something?
Yeah, Daddy of Five was being mean. He was like. Really, like, he pranked the fuck out of one of his kids, like, constantly.
Didn't they get arrested and all kinds of shit?
Oh, yeah.
I think they got their kids taken away. I'm not sure if they got arrested.
I think they did, dude. I think they had some serious legal repercussions from that shit.
I mean, dude, I don't know. I was on the other end of the spectrum on that shit. They were just clearly, like, doing mean things to one kid in their family
yeah,
to
I mean,
make
they were like
abuse.
It was like, it wasn't really about any one incident with that kid. It was more just like the pattern of them constantly.
Yeah, his entire
it's
life.
It's a totality.
Like,
it's
had
a pattern
to worry
of
about
abuse.
Somebody running in with a chainsaw at
if
any moment.
Done,
you know what I mean?
If they'd done any one of those pranks, like in isolation to that kid.
Exactly.
Well, it'd have been like, all right, you know,
here's
you
the thing,
the kid,
too.
Whatever.
If
mean,
everyone in the family
funny.
Had been fair game, like if they did that to the dad, too. If everyone was like, and it was obviously a joke, that'd been one thing.
But like, it was
singling
pretty much
someone
like
out.
Them documenting them, like, singling this
here's
one
the black
kid
sheep
out.
Of our family fuck him
you're the black sheep we're gonna torture you and make you feel like shit daily you
just
know
bullshit.
So that was a different incident
but
to me
you,
this,
didn't you argue that wasn't abuse though
I mean like to me like I mean I just remember our own childhood like our dad would always mess with us our uncle would always mess
yeah,
with
but
us
there was always like something of like at the conclusion, it was kind of like, I did this for this reason, or it was a joke, and it was, like, clearly demonstrated
yeah.
to you that wasn't, like, they hated you
but
actually.
I just, like, I think there's a lot of parents out there that are total assholes to kids. I don't know that being an asshole to your kid necessarily rises up to the level
yeah,
of abuse,
but, see,
but maybe it does.
But I think you're equivocating. I think you're equivocating there. I think that, yeah, being an asshole shouldn't necessarily be illegal, but if you take it to a certain point, it should be illegal.
If it's, like, a constant thing where the kid lives under constant threat of some crazy shit happening, they're taking... taking his shit away for no reason, blaming him for something he didn't do over and over again. Like that, when you're a
kid. Yeah, I mean, like, eventually that's going to lead to
and you're
some...
just like, yeah, and then, yeah, like, everybody at school.
All on, you know,
yeah, everybody at school
shit.
Is watching you get fucked on. You know, your life is going to suck.
Yeah, teach, imagine when we got fucked on. The first thing was our parents knew was going to social media and post it and be like, yeah. Look at this little retard. Look at TJ.
The entire world can watch you
look
cry.
Look at TJ getting scared. Oh, look at TJ crying in his bed.
So, yeah, I can definitely see that perspective. I think it does probably add up to abuse in a situation like that. But an incident like this in isolation, I don't know
I don't
if
think this
necessarily
abuse.
Rises up to the like level
it's,
of abuse.
It's probably, it's. I don't think it's a good, I don't think it's a good parenting
I don't think
practice.
It's good.
It's probably not a good idea to post it online because the kid will, like, you know, other people will see it and shit. But like, my dad, like, you ever seen that movie Shocker from the 80s or heard of it? There's a movie, it's about a dude that gets electrocuted in the electric chair, but he goes into the electrical circuit, and he's like an electricity demon.
Whoa,
or whatever.
Whoa, dude, that
the
sounds
fuck.
Awesome.
Yeah. So my dad, we rented this movie, and I had a bunch of friends over. I was like 8 years old, right? My dad had seen it before. So he waited until like the penultimate, like the last few minutes, you know what I mean? Cut the power in the house. Out in the garage, he had fired up his fucking welding machine. And we're all like, what the fuck? All the power goes out, and he comes in through the kitchen with, like, the welding thing, making sparks, going, and we're all like, you know, like, we all fucking lose our shit. A couple of my friends started crying. Now, that's not abuse. It was hilarious,
that's
dude.
Awesome, dude.
It was hilarious.
You just got to know where the line is.
But
yeah, you got to know.
Yeah, but your dad probably after that was like, I was just kidding.
I think putting the kid's head in a toilet is definitely... across the line, but I don't think
it's
like...
I mean, if it was a dirty-ass toilet with a turd floating
well,
in it,
yeah.
It'd be a little different.
I mean,
yeah,
then for sure.
If it was a clean swirly, who cares, dude? Whatever. He'll get over it.
I'm just saying...
He won't even remember it, dude.
I'm not
I'll
upset about it,
kids that age don't remember
whatever,
shit.
You know. New tech. Asia, whatever.
Asia.
Argento now claims that underage boy raped her.
So it's gone from never happened to she was raped.
Never happened, never happened, never happened. Actually, he raped me.
You know what's great?
He raped me.
It's now that the Me Too movement has turned on her. Now it's she was raped. Now
yeah,
she,
dude.
Oh, I gotta get my victim status back. How can I get that back? Oh, I was actually raped.
I was raped.
Oh, but wait, before you said nothing happened. So now you went from innocent to now this other person is guilty.
Do you routinely take naked selfies with your rapists?
Yeah, all the
of
time.
Of course, dude.
Asia Argento now claims that Jimmy Bennett, then 17, was the one who raped her, and not, as he claims, the other way around. Bennett last month charged that Argento sexually assaulted him when she was 37 and he was 17. Days after the allegations emerged, TMZ obtained text messages allegedly sent by Argento to a friend that said she had sex with Bennett at the Ritz-Carlton Motel
in Marina del Rey,
California.
Where's the text message saying she was raped, though?
But her attorney, Mark J. Heller, now says that Bennett's allegations are not true, and it was Bennett who was the aggressor.
So basically, now she has legal counsel. It's like, you need to spin it like he raped you.
I read
you.
Her text messages, and one of them was like, dude, what was I supposed to do? The kid jumped my bones or whatever. Like, so she's trying to use that as proof that like he... But really what it was an excuse for her to fuck a 17-year-old. It's the age-old excuse when somebody fucks somebody that's underage. Oh, man, that kid, they wanted it just as bad as I did.
Oh, wait, but listen to this. She's so fucking virtuous.
Of course.
Asia does not intend to prosecute Bennett for his conduct.
Oh!
Wow.
Yeah, she just wants her social victim credit back.
What a saint. What a saint. Yeah, well, I hope that he intends on prosecuting you, bitch.
Yeah, because she knows that there's no fucking judge in the world that's going to look at the evidence in this case and... see rape.
Oh, yeah. He raped her.
Yeah, it looks like a violent rape went on here.
What a lying bitch. So, yeah, that's what's going on with that story. Brie Larson takes flight as Captain Marvel on this week's EW cover, Entertainment Weekly.
Brie Larson. Oh, okay, so this is the new Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. The future is female.
Are people losing their shit over the recasting?
Nope.
They're not the retconning of making Captain Marvel a woman.
No, not that I've seen. I mean, there have been comic incarnations of Captain Marvel that were women. So.
Oh, okay.
So it's not.
I didn't
like,
know that.
It's not like this is.
I don't
new.
Know anything about Captain Marvel.
I really
TBH.
Don't either. It's not really a big hero in the Marvel universe. I feel like it's kind of just there. It's like one of their answers to
like,
Superman. But
all this is just the tip. Like we all know exactly what this is. This is Hollywood just cashing in on this fucking of wanting to have more females in movies movement, and that's fucking fine. I mean, let them fucking do it.
Whatever, if they do a good job with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I honestly care more about the fucking story and if it actually makes sense and it's a good movie. Like whoever they cast. That's almost immaterial to me. It's like people are so focused. It's like it's just like identity politics. It's just like people are so focused. Well, is it a person of color? Is it a woman? Is it that? It's like, you know, I don't really care. I care about the story and I care about being entertainment. I care about the entertainment product. Like, look, if they pull it off with a cast that's all diverse, then great. If it's all white, that's great. If it's all black, that's great. Let's focus on the fucking product, not the fucking people making it. Let's play the best person. Like meritocracy is just so dead. And now it's just, oh, well, they have to have a black person in this role. They have to have a white person in this role. They have to have this person. They have a trans person. Only a trans person can play a trans person because they're trans. It's like, what? That makes no sense. No.
Yeah, that's pretty weird. This is another news, entertainment news story. Daredevil stunt double to make directorial debut with zombie movie Outbreak Z. And the reason I thought this was interesting is because he plans on not hiring actors to play the main roles, but to hire entirely stunt doubles and shit. So I thought that that might be cool as an action movie, but I'm pretty sure that acting is going to suffer when everyone's a stunt double.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are not trained actors. They're stuntmen.
Right.
I mean, so there are some people that can cross over. Like, there are people that have done their own stunts and
now,
shit.
I think if this is pretty much nothing but Tom a high-octane action movie that's just there to show off cool action set pieces, that might work. But if they're trying to have any sort of level of you caring about these characters,
obviously,
it's probably going
to
be...
Well, obviously, he wants the characters to do crazy shit. That's obviously what he's going for. So
I mean, if he plays
he's kind
it
of
right.
Like, so, I mean, if he does it right... It could be a really good fucking interesting film if you know, one of the main characters can do parkour. You know what I mean? You're not doing cutaway shots. So.
He does the fight choreography for the Daredevil Netflix show, which is actually really good in terms of fight choreography.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things.
I don't really... The show's all right. The fight choreography in it is really top-notch, in my opinion.
Dope.
So it's... I don't know, man. It might be cool.
I think that he also did Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this
he
guy
does
is,
a lot. He
knows what the fuck he's talking about.
He does a lot of chops.
He's got a lot of
stunt
choreography stuff under his belt. I'm just wondering if that's going to lead to a good movie
you know,
or if
it's just
going to lead to a bunch of action sequences that would be good if they were in something, you know.
Says it's an indie action horror film. So, like, you know what? That's the perfect kind of place to experiment with stuff like this. And, I mean, like, if you guys seen the movie, It's a first person movie where it's from the guy's perspective and he's like killing a bunch of people
Hardcore Henry.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I'm kind of feeling.
What do you think about something like that?
I mean, I feel like Hardcore Henry. Like, I almost wish it was a short film instead because it's like with each passing half hour, you're less engaged by it, not more.
The bad parts of Hardcore Henry were the parts where there were dialogue and shit, and it's just like going to be the weakness of this. Is I can't see them. Making an entire action set piece that doesn't have any kind of dialogue or any interplay between the characters, and if there's anything like that in this movie, it's going to suffer. Because these dudes that he's going to be casting are not actors.
I'm wondering if he's going to try to find ones that actually have some acting ability or that can be developed.
I think it's possible. Maybe. Like, I think it's possible to do a movie like this justice, but I mean, it's definitely, look... You got to
strike a good balance.
You have to push the envelope on things, and I think this is a way to do it. I mean, look, we haven't seen the product yet, and I think we should all just watch it and see what we think then.
Well, I'm interested in it. Police captain's son gets 20 years for terror plot.
Wow.
The case against him must have been rock solid.
Boston police captain's son, who authorities called a committed soldier of the Islamic State group, was sentenced to 20 years in prison on Wednesday for plotting to use assault rifles and homemade bombs to kill Americans on a college campus. Alexander Sicilo, I think that's how it's pronounced, who went by the name Ali al-Amriki.
It's probably Chichi or some Chicholo.
Chicholo, TJ. You fucking idiot.
I don't know. He pleaded guilty to terrorism charges in May, 3 years after his father alerted the FBI about his son's desire to fight for the terror group. Sicholo's lawyers say the man who dealt with mental health and substance abuse issues had poorly thought out plans and no real ability to carry out the attack. I don't know. It doesn't seem like having... I mean, like, you know, we've seen some pretty fucked up people who don't really seem like they're
But this kind of gets into thought crime territory. It's like you think about something, and maybe you make some, like, tangential plans, but even the people investigating him said he wasn't a credible threat. I mean, does this guy really need 20 years in prison, or does he need mental help? I'm not sure.
I mean, without actually seeing him or...
But I'm saying...
Knowing all the details of the case,
do you think conspiracy is enough? Like, are they, like, if you think about doing something, should you be arrested for it?
Was he actually starting to put together the materials?
They said he
was
in a rudimentary way.
Well, then I say, you know, he probably deserves some prison time then. I mean, if he's actually starting to put together materials
for an attack,
that shows
intent to
actually
do it. But you know with our prison system, what's going to happen if he gets out in 20 years? Should he just go back? I mean, what's going to...
I think, you know, this guy'd probably be better off in a mental health facility, honestly.
I mean, the way they described him. I mean, maybe
I'm
wrong.
Are the people that are in ISIS all mentally ill?
No.
No, I don't think that, but I'm talking about this guy in particular.
I mean...
I think a lot of those people are just, you know, they're part
religious
of
religious zealots.
Yeah, they're part of,
and that gets into that sticky territory of, like,
religious zealotry does have a tendency to attract mentally ill people.
It does, but I'm not saying I don't think all of them are. I think groups like ISIS are primarily driven by are just power vacuums. It's just those people want power and they use religion
people don't need ISIS to go shoot up a fucking campus anymore.
You know.
They don't need ISIS. They don't even really need any sort of ideology behind it. Like, a lot of people just do this because they're like, I want to do it.
It's an outburst.
I just have some kind of pent up aggression because I'm not getting any pussy or whatever the fuck is happening, and I'm gonna go shoot up this place to get my revenge on the world for wronging me.
I'm tired
me.
Of getting shit on, so I just want a moment in the sun. I want everybody to be talking about me like they did Cho Sung Hui or any of these other fucking
Eric
guys.
Harris, but when it comes, they're like, gonna be disappointed by that though.
When it comes to like ISIS, though,
no one even cares about these shootings.
You have to look at too is that it's just recruiting a bunch of broke dick motherfuckers that have nothing. I mean, they live in a fucking poverty stricken country with no natural resources, and religion is just a tool to use to recruit people that are warlords, basically. That's how I see it. I mean, maybe people believe this shit or not, but it's always the same thing. It's like, even if you go to Islamic countries, you think everyone there is a devout Muslim. It's no, they just know. It's like a lot of people in the West for years were Christians, even if they weren't Christians, because it's just easier to function if you go along with the social norms.
Yep. Who the fuck this retard is. Anyway. Cop who used taser on girl. This is why there's no grocery stores in the black community.
Damn.
Let's see if there's a video of it here.
That's racist.
Food deserts, dude.
Thing I want to do is tase you like that. When I say stop, you stop. You know you caught. Just stop.
You know you caught. It sounds like the cop is black as well.
That hurt my heart.
I can't tell.
Oh no, if he was white, the title would have "White Cop Tells Black Child."
Oh, for sure.
Then I got to listen to all these idiots out here in the parking lot tell me how I was wrong for tasing you. You broke the law, and you fled as I tried to apprehend you.
Damn, I want some of that beef jerky.
Damn, they got a lot of beef jerky, dude.
Pass me that jerky, dog.
I'll pay for
it, dude. Quit tasing kids and give me that jerky.
Yeah.
So is he going to say it or what?
I mean, look, even if he does say it, if she broke the law, I mean, it doesn't change that. I mean, it's a racist statement, but doesn't mean that what she did was invalidated.
You know what, sweetheart? This is why there aren't any grocery stores in the black community, because of all this going on.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't even... I think, like, the way he's saying it is, like, there's just a lot of... Like, when people do shit like this constantly in these stores...
You people! Did you just say, you people, Scotty?
No, I said, when people.
You said, you people. I heard it. So I guess this happened in Cincinnati. He deployed a taser to stop an 11-year-old girl from shoplifting.
Oh, my God.
Seems like a little bit overkill.
But,
I know she was 11. I mean,
I could tell she was young in that clip.
The statement he's making is probably to a degree true, though.
I mean, he was
poverty. Black communities tend to be more impoverished, and those a lot of those areas are called food deserts. They live in very urbanized areas, and there's not many grocery stores in them. Most people actually shop at convenience stores.
Well, he's saying like, okay, that you know, he's saying basically because you stole from this store, people like you are the reason there's no grocery stores in black communities because they don't even want to fucking deal with you guys.
Isn't that kind of true though?
I mean, well, you could look at it from that perspective, or you could say that people rob because there's no opportunities in these ghettos. So, like,
yeah, he might be putting the cart before the horse on that one.
Yeah, no, in my opinion, he kind of is. Like, look, when you're born into a place where abject poverty is the norm, like, what are you supposed to do but turn to a life of crime to supplement your lifestyle? You know what I mean? You got no opportunity within a fucking 10-mile radius of where you were born.
But plus, crime is
But
cool.
I'm saying, but it's just a fact that in primarily black communities, this is more of an issue than anywhere else.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
It's a multifaceted fucking problem. Well, too. It's not a simple thing.
I'm not saying that we can rejectiously say it's because they're black. That's not even what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is that these are the areas primarily affected by this. So that I think he's just making a statement, an anecdotal statement. Let's just say, like, look, this is why the shit like this happens consistently. This
well, what do you think about him tasing an 11-year-old in the first place?
I think that's
because I mean, whatever you make of his statement, like, I think that's
a highly
way overkill for that situation.
You can hear in his voice that the desire to be like a tough love situation. You know what I mean? Like, he was hoping she took some lesson from this, but at the end of the day, I don't really think I'm subsidizing the police force with my tax dollars to tase 11-year-olds trying to steal a jacket out of a store.
No.
You could just go grab them. It's an 11-year-old. If you can't catch an 11-year-old, your fat donut-eating ass shouldn't be on the force.
Yeah,
I don't agree with her being tased.
Honestly, if she got away with it, I mean,
she ain't Professor Moriarty here. You pull the taser out if you think that somebody's got a weapon.
He's got a knife, yeah. You know, or some shit like
if
that.
If somebody's in danger or endangering the lives of the public,
yeah, she pulled
then you
a
tase
knife
them.
On him or something. That's one thing.
You don't tase somebody to protect the property of a corporation.
I mean, these cops, they just love these fucking tasers.
Oh, do they love them?
Oh, yeah, because it lets them pull something out and shoot somebody with it, but, you know, they don't have to do all the paperwork.
Mm. I hate it. I don't.
Well, at least it saves people from getting shot with fucking real
weapons. Here's where we get real weird. Boy 15 beheaded himself with chainsaw after losing computer game.
Holy fuck, what game?
I like how that's the first. My first question is, how the fuck do you even?
Oh, I know
oh,
how
that'd
to do
be
it.
Easy. That'd be
dude,
easy.
Dude, you set up the fucking chainsaw all right. Between two chairs.
Yep.
Uh huh.
And then you just fucking fall on it.
Dude, I was gonna cut through that. Oh yeah, no problem. All
right, so of course this is in Russia. Russian police are investigating claims. So we're not totally substantiated.
Okay.
Got it.
A boy beheaded himself with a chainsaw after losing a computer game. According to reports, Pavel Matin, 15, went into his yard Monday before he switched on a chainsaw and sawed off his own head. Russian media cited local sources saying that he was addicted to a computer game that his single mother had bought for him. State-owned Russian television channel NTV reported a teenager from Tomsk region committed suicide after he lost a computer game. It is unclear what computer game he was playing, but a female source says Pavel spent hours at his computer and that his nerves gave in after a game. The local office of Russian investigative of the Russian Investigative Committee gave no further details on Pavel's case except to confirm a criminal case had been opened into incitement to suicide. Russia has seen several so-called death groups allegedly incite children and teenagers to take their own lives whilst playing online games. I mean, that obviously happens.
Dude, what are the chances that this kid was connected to somebody who was in trouble politically or some shit? And this is just the excuse the Russian mob gave. Oh, he was playing game and beheaded himself with chainsaw in the backyard. How tragic. How tragic. He tied himself up and then beheaded himself with chainsaw and then drawed and
it's unfortunate
his body.
What happened to son Nikolai.
Yes.
Okay, but here's the
truly
thing.
Truly, I weep
Russia,
for you.
There doesn't seem to be much pretense in Russia with that kind of shit. I would guess that if anything happened, this kid probably fucking did kill himself. Look, dude, people have let their kids die. They've let themselves die from exhaustion of playing video games. Like, some people get so addicted to these games.
Yeah.
And so despondent if they lose. I mean,
I mean, I rage. Like, look, dude,
I wouldn't be surprised someone did kill themselves.
I'm a fat dude. I could have a heart attack playing Monster Hunter or some shit, raging the way I do. But I'm talking about, like, there are people that take it to the extreme. I look at this subreddit sometimes called Virtual Freakout. And it's like, there are people that sound like they're having aneurysms over video games, breaking all their shit, screaming bloody murder, punching each other. It's like, whoa, okay, that's next level shit.
I mean, dude, look what happened with Madden.
I feel like this is next level.
Look what happened with
level.
That Madden game just a fucking few weeks ago. It's like people literally murder other people. It's like, you beat me while you die.
Yeah. Man, that's salty, man. People call me salty. That's,
yeah, you got
that's
shit
salt.
On that.
Yeah, Paul's out to his car, come back with a gun, and like wasted everyone else in
the
room.
Yeah, then blow his brains out.
I mean, I'll talk
end.
Shit and wish death on you and shit over a video game, but man.
It won't actually go out of the way to kill you.
So yeah. Maybe this happened. Who knows?
Oh, Johnny Bobbitt's lawyer says all $400,000 in GoFundMe money is gone. For those of you who don't know the story, this was a homeless guy who he was kind to a stranger, and it inspired a $400,000 GoFundMe campaign. And his lawyer says that all the money raised from is gone.
What's crazy was he got viral because this was a homeless dude, I think he was a homeless vet, and he gave this woman like his last $20 to help her out. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of people were like, "Oh my god, heartwarming tale!" And then the cash just fucking poured in through GoFundMe that this woman set up.
So
the woman he helped set up the GoFundMe.
Chris Fallon said he learned of the fund status in a conference call Tuesday with lawyers for Kate McClure and Mark D'Amico?
The two guys, the two people that raised money.
The Burlington County couple accused of mismanaging the money raised for Bobbitt. It completely shocked me when I heard Fallon said it came as a complete surprise to me. Word of the missing funds came on the same day Bobbitt's lawyer asked the judge to impose sanctions on the couple after the pair missed a court-ordered deadline to hand over any remaining GoFundMe money. Bobbitt hired a legal team after becoming concerned that the couple had squandered much of the money raised to help him get off the streets. He said they denied him access to the funds while spending money on expensive vacations and a new BMW.
So looks like these people got a taste of big money all of a sudden.
So they probably started this GoFundMe with the genuine intention to do something nice for this dude.
Well, they probably thought it was going to make a couple grand.
Yeah,
or something.
And then they could virtue signal by being like, "We gave a homeless guy
$2,000."
But it
went viral.
But then they made $400,000, and they're like, "Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching."
Yeah,
we'll give him some, but a lot of this just needs to be you and me. We're going to go on vacation. We're going to BMW.
I mean, they gave him about $200,000. So they basically said, like, what they essentially did was charge him a $200,000 fee for raising the money for him.
Yep.
So Bobbitt made international news last year when he spent his last $20 to help McClure after her car ran out of gas and became stranded on an I-95 overpass in the Port Richmond
section
of Philadelphia.
So it doesn't sound like they were doing too well to begin with either.
Touched by his generosity, McClure and her boyfriend, D'Amico, however that's pronounced, started the GoFundMe campaign with the goal of getting him into a home. Months later, the relationship between Bobbitt and the couple grew strained. The promise of a home gave way to a camper they bought him and placed on the property McClure's family owns in rural Burlington County. And as Bobbitt continued to struggle with drug addiction, the couple withheld much of the money. Soon the camper was sold and Bobbitt was once again homeless. Neat.
So these people are scum fucks, basically.
I mean, it sounds to me like
I'm not saying everyone
being corrupted by way too much money coming in for any of them to handle.
I mean, but this guy, people gave money to this dude.
I think
whether it was a good decision or not, no matter what it is, these people stole this fucking money for their own personal use.
I agree
with
that.
That's it.
I just feel like there was probably some good intentions here towards the beginning that got probably corrupted when you started to get into six figures.
Dude, what they should have done is they should have hired a fucking lawyer, set up a trust, and they should have been out of their hands. That's it.
I mean, you know, people without money don't know how to handle money oftentimes. Here's another story about someone getting fucked financially. DNA test proves man who paid $58,000 in child support is not the father.
Yeah, what are the chances of him seeing a dime of that
Paul Parkey, you are not the father.
A man who forked out almost $60,000 in child support payments wants his money back after a DNA test revealed he isn't the father. Appearing on Channel 9's A Current Affair, Carey was a local footballer when he had a one-night stand with Julie, now a fisherman. Wow, what a fucking
fall from grace. So he paid $60,000 for basically a one-night stand.
He said the encounter 20 years ago led to Julie revealing she was pregnant, and that the child was his, news.com.au.
So basically, he's the sap that got fucking, got pinned on.
Living in the coastal town of Cervantes, I don't know, in Western Australia, Kerry says he wants his money back from either Julie or the government for paying out $58K over 18 years for a child that was not his. The bills started to pile up, and I had to take action because if I didn't, they would, Kerry told A Current Affair. The first time they froze my account was during a fishing season. I had my passport frozen and was told it couldn't be reinstated until I paid the bill in full. I had $26,000 taken out. But despite the growing debt, Kerry says he continued to make payments as he believed the child was his, even though he was slightly skeptical because there were a few suitors for Julie at the time. Kerry finally got in contact with a DNA agency to confirm once and for all if Julie's daughter was his. He claims they called him an idiot and told him to get a test done as soon as possible. The consultant from Child Support, when he asked me, I can't see a result for a DNA test here because I don't have one, Kerry said. And he pretty much on the phone called me stupid idiot.
I like the honesty of the.
As soon as I could.
I like the honesty of the testing company. They're like, "Where's your DNA test that proves that the kid's yours?" She's like, "I don't have one." They're like, "You're a dumbass. Go get the test now."
That woman looks like Nosferatu.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Lactose.
Julie. Dude, he paid $60,000 to fuck her. Oh no! Oh no! You didn't.
What the fuck,
Paul? If I told you got to fuck the woman, you had to pay $60,000 over,
dude,
like.
What kind of pussy is hanging around in Cervantes if there were multiple suitors for this woman, dude? Holy fuck.
It's got to be rough, dude.
Oh, man.
Around here, we probably think she was homeless, dude.
Or maybe that's just a picture of her without her vampire attractiveness power turned on.
Dude, you know fuck, I mean? Yes. This is a fucking brilliant
California
move,
votes to bar school from starting before 8:30 a.m. to help give students more sleep.
Thank you.
California lawmakers voted Friday to bar middle and high schools from starting before 8:30 a.m., one of dozens of proposals debated in the legislature on the final day of the legislative session.
What time, TJ? I think me and you had to get up like 6:45.
I don't even
what
remember.
What about you,
ungodly.
Paul? Do you remember what time you had to wake
like
up for high school and
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, I had to get up at about 6. I think my first bell was 7:30 a.m.
Dude, fuck that shit, dude. 8:39 is a better time for these kids. You know another thing, dude, while they're at it? The fucking legislature needs to ban fucking homework, dude. They can do projects and shit. That's okay. But homework as a general thing just needs to go. There's been no studies that have proven homework to be effective.
Homework sucks.
It's bullshit.
A bill, SB 238, narrowly passed in both chambers. The development came as lawmakers scrambled to pass bills ahead of a midnight deadline addressing topics ranging from internet neutrality and smoking at state beaches. Lawmakers also announced they were shelving several high-profile bills, including one that would have declared gay conversion therapy a fraudulent business practice. Nearly 80% of California middle and high schools started earlier than 8:30 a.m. in 2012, according to Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. If Governor Jerry Brown signs the bill, schools will have about 3 years to comply. It would not apply to rural schools or to extra periods offered before the start of the school day. It would not mandate changes to school day lengths.
Huh.
Why wouldn't it apply to rural schools?
Because they get the fucking short end of every stick. And because, I guess, rural school people that live in rural areas have to get up earlier in the morning. So
fuck that.
I think it like justify it that way. But yeah, dude, rural schools always get fucked.
I support this.
But yeah, no, for sure. This makes sense. Children need to sleep.
Colin Kaepernick becomes face of Nike's 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign.
Yay, who cares?
Woo!
Colin Kaepernick will be the face of Nike's 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign, reports ESPN Darren Rovell. According to Rovell, Nike has been paying Kaepernick all along and waiting for the right moment, which is now. Hey. Nike signed Kaepernick in 2011, but has not used him for over the past 2 years. We believe Colin is one of the most inspirational athletes of his generation, who has leveraged the power of sport to help move the world forward. Gino Fissanati, Nike's vice president of brand for North America, told ESPN. Kaepernick tweeted the ad, which has the words, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything, hashtag just do it. If you still got your Nike sponsorship and they've been paying you for the last 2 years, then you have not, I'm sorry, sacrificed everything. Sacrificing everything is like, I'm going to die, or I'm going to be imprisoned, or I'm going to be impoverished. Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick, then maybe a little bit above him on the rung, Nelson Mandela, dude.
Yeah.
You know, same level
I put
suffering.
Nelson Mandela a little under Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah,
under
fair enough, dude.
I think he deserves to be under. But this isn't really what's interesting. I don't give a shit about this. What's fascinating to me is these retards burning all their Nike shit, which, where the fuck did that go?
Oh, here it is, dude.
Here's why some Americans are burning and damaging their Nike products.
Because they're dumb?
Many joked on how people burning their Nike products made no difference to the company as the money has already been paid. Well, no shit.
No shit.
At Nike, due to your support of CK in your coming ads, I, as an American, can no longer support your company. Hashtag boycott Nike. Hashtag I stand for our flag. And you see him here getting his Nikes ready for the grill.
But when did Nike ever make a statement?
Wow, wait, hold on. Go back up. Is that all he showed? Is that all he showed was him setting them out on the grill and then...
Yeah. Oh, he didn't do shit.
Yeah, he still got all these Nikes. What a fucking slacktivist piece of shit.
Let's see. A day after Nike unveiled their Just Do It campaign, blah, blah, blah.
But here's the thing. How is it that
So here he is. Let's see if we actually can see him burning this shit.
It's a pair of Nike shoes. Okay, so everybody to see. Throwing this in the fire because of Colin Kaepernick is now the face of Nike.
Wow. I hope you get a lot of
I am the face of autism.
All right, he did it.
Yeah, I just bought 3 days ago.
Fuck you, Nike.
I bought this 3 days ago.
Wow, yeah, what a retard. Why don't you just throw a couple $100 bills on top of there to get it nice and hot, you fucking dumb shit.
Get some kindling going.
I mean, if you just bought them 3 days ago, you might even be able to
return
the
fucking five pairs of shoes in there, all going to let them burn.
Yeah, you just changed the world, rich kid.
Wow.
Because Nike decided
so
to make Colin Kaepernick
those instead of giving them to a Goodwill or a homeless shelter or something.
When he doesn't...
His dad probably applauds this shit.
Share the same opinions as the people. Fuck
you. But here's my question. When did Nike make any statements like, fuck the flag? They just signed this guy who's already been with them for years to become the face of Nike products.
Here's another one.
It's just a savvy social media move. That's all
it is. This dude's burning his fucking lawn to burn the Nikes. Look at this dumbass.
He probably poured like some accelerant on there, so that's why.
You know how many other sneakers there are to buy, to choose from? You're going to go ahead and say, hey, buy them our shoes. We stand with people who kneel for the national anthem. Sorry, Nike. I've been buying you for the past 20-plus years.
Wow.
Not anymore.
Oh, no, dude.
I detect a bit of tism in this one.
Nike, I am done
favorite pair
with
of
you.
Nikes.
Listen, Nike, for the past 20 to 30 to months or years, I have supported your shoes. But you stand with people. Wait. You kneel with people who stand for the flag.
Fuck you, idiot.
Dude, I just love how he's burning his grass. This guy tore his socks apart. Woo!
Oh my god, what a hero.
I ripped these Nike socks apart for America!
What a hero.
Oh, dude. What socks
am I wearing today?
Oh, shit. Are you wearing Nike socks?
Oh, dude, check it out, dude.
Oh shit! Here's
my fucking swoosh, dude.
Dude, Scotty's got Nike socks on.
Hold on, I'm gonna bring you full screen there.
Proud wearer of the Nike sock.
Oh no!
Look at that.
And I'm proud to wear them Nike socks because they hate the USA.
Oh, dude, I gotta shred these socks now. What am I talking about?
Yeah,
I may just put them back on my fucking feet and don't give a shit because it doesn't fucking matter. It's not a consequential fucking issue.
Oh, you're definitely
a private company. Chose this person as a spokesman to make more money. Because what does Nike do? They sell shit like this. It's all about money. They don't give a fuck about this shit.
I mean, it'd be one thing if these people were principled and were actually never going to buy a Nike product again. But you know that like 2 weeks from now, they're not even going to remember they did this. They'll be on to the whatever the next outrage culture moment that they're focusing on is.
Well, another thing,
whatever the next hashtag is.
Hey, TJ, where are Nike shoes made, dude? Or the majority of them.
I don't even know.
Like, what's it, like, Cambodia, Thailand? It's like basically...
I know it's third world shitholes.
Yeah, a bunch of... Oh, no, TJ, that's offensive. You can't
is
say
it?
Shithole.
I'm sorry.
Other countries, TJ. Less developing countries.
So, this is another story here. France has banned all children under 15 from using their phones in school. That's Paul clapping.
Damn, Paul, we got a Paul clap going.
Hey, look, I'm actually hearing about a school doing something that's going to help nation. Kids.
The nation of France did this.
French students returning from the summer break will no longer be able to use their phones during the school day. Earlier this summer, France banned all students under 15 from using all cell phones, tablets, and smartwatches at any point during the day. This includes mealtimes. The government is concerned that students are becoming too dependent on and distracted by their phones.
No shit, Sherlock.
This law makes total sense.
Yeah, they're trying to get out ahead of this flood. I'm telling you guys, man. People are calling me a crazy kook, but we're about to have a flood of crazy studies.
Well, really? A lot of people think you're totally off base.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I don't disagree with any of the stuff you say is happening. What I would say is, how do you know that's not just the next phase in the social evolution of man?
Because it's asocial in nature.
Not really, because they communicate via those devices. And
people feel more and more lonely than ever. Unreality.
The whole point becomes their reality at that point.
But we haven't, society hasn't caught up with that yet. We can't deal with each other without looking each other in the eye. We can't deal with each other without face-to-face contact.
I think that's what people like you are afraid of, is that there might become, this generation might be raised up on this stuff and then create a world where that's no longer the case.
I weep for the loss of credibility and I weep for the loss of accountability more than anything.
That's gonna
the
be
fact
a
that you can say
that's
anything
gonna be a scary
want.
Fucking world, dude. What's real then?
Think about it, dude. The public square.
I feel like we already live in a post-reality reality at this point.
Think about it, TJ. The public square is self-policing.
Yeah.
Traditionally speaking, if you want to go and say some crazy asshole bullshit, go say it. But everybody that lives around there, everybody that hears you in the public square is going to know, hey, Paul Parkey made that crazy fucking statement. You have to take ownership of the things that you say. In the public square. Not anymore.
Oh, that's dead, dude.
Not anymore.
That's already dead.
Now you just say whatever fucking whimsical bullshit comes to your mind, and when you're proven completely wrong, you just disappear. No accountability.
Poof.
And you're telling me...
Smoke screen.
You're telling me that we shouldn't be concerned that that is replacing face-to-face human contact.
I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned. I'm just saying that it might just be inevitable. You might be fighting against what's going to happen regardless. And I don't think it's necessarily all negative. There might be positive aspects of this that we're not seeing.
Look, virtual autism,
there's,
DJ.
There's the, look.
Maybe that's just the future pros, social evolution
always,
of
there's
man.
There's always dangers to new technology. And look, there's always going to be pros and cons.
It just reminds me of...
Well, look at the shows like Black Mirror.
People used to have this rich oral tradition. It used to be very important to memorize information. Then, when it became easy to write on parchment, people were like, man, these kids are so fucking stupid now. They can't even memorize shit because they just write it all down. The human brain is a very malleable thing, and who's to say that just because a social convention isn't what we're used to, that it might not have its own efficacy?
I mean,
what you're not really addressing with that argument is, are there negative repercussions to that?
Sure. I mean, there's negative.
Huge ones.
What I'm saying is, maybe there's positive repercussions as well.
I'm sure there are positive repercussions. I'm sure there's negatives and positives.
I'm not taking a firm stance on this,
but
to make that clear.
I think there's
I
a lot of
think
negative
we
can just stuff
look
that's
at
coming
it and say
out of
this.
This
is just 100% negative. There's no positive aspect to this. And just, paint it as a
this whole thing has
scenario.
All personally affected us. Think of what happened at our meetup.
Yeah.
Think about things like that and tell me that there isn't a kind of.
Yeah,
that,
that was a lack of social awareness that caused that problem.
You're right.
And that was a person that spent most of their life cooped up in a room doing things on the internet that didn't understand the difference between memes and real life. And that's what we're looking at. We're at the front edge of a generation of people that a huge cross-section of them never learned how to look somebody in the eye, never learned how to shake somebody's hand, never learned how to talk to somebody or take accountability for anything that they said.
But who's to say,
though?
Because
they're so used to just spouting off whatever dumb fuck shit comes to their minds and getting absolutely no repercussions for it.
But who's to say that, in 30 years, that guy does that shit and the security's just like, yeah, cool meme, bro.
There's no fucking way. Because he endangered everybody in that place. He almost got shot.
It might not be viewed that way in the future is what I'm saying.
Somebody bringing a gun to a venue is not going to be viewed.
A bunch of airsoft guns,
Dude, there's no way that he could have told that was an airsoft gun. He almost got plugged.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, we don't know what the future course is of human beings and the way that they interact and the
platforms they interact on. What you're saying is pragmatic. I mean, you're saying, look, these things are naturally going to arise and people, what's going to happen is going to happen.
And I don't really think France banning their phones during school hours is going to make a lick of difference.
At least it's going to make sure that the kids aren't fucking reading Twitter while they're supposed to be learning shit.
I mean, eventually it's just going to be like, it's built into my eyeball or something and they're not even going to be able to know.
Well, I don't know, man.
Maybe.
I can understand your perspective, and I appreciate the devil's advocacy, but I really don't care what fucking adults do with their time. Mm-hmm. If an adult wants to spend their time with their face buried in their phone, I think that's their choice. But we have to be honest about what it's doing to kids. The developing human brain is something that we've done a lot. We know a lot about it.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's kind of what my point is. It's a very adaptable organ. I mean, we've seen that the human brain can be conditioned to function in various different ways.
Well, it's adaptable in some ways.
I don't know that this is necessarily a bad step. I think there's disadvantages to it. I don't know it's necessarily good. I'm just saying I don't know. I'm agnostic towards it. Anyway, Saudi Arabia declares online satire punishable offense.
Wasn't it already there?
Why wouldn't
it? It already was.
I guess they just made the official declaration. Okay, I don't know. Let's see what they're saying. Saudi Arabia will punish online satire that disturbs public order with up to 5 years in prison, the public prosecutor said Tuesday as the kingdom cracks down on dissent.
I mean, they've done that for years to begin with.
I don't really understand how this is a difference for Saudi Arabia.
Go watch a documentary about the internal politics of Saudi Arabia, and you find out there's very little freedom there. You don't have freedom of speech in Saudi Arabia. If you say the king is bad, your ass is going to prison.
So here's what they say. Producing and distributing content that ridicules, mocks, provokes, and disrupts public order, however that's defined, religious values, and public morals through social media will be considered a cybercrime punishable by a maximum of 5 years in prison and a fine of 3 million rials, which is $800,000, I guess.
Jesus.
The public prosecution tweeted late Monday. The kingdom's powerful crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, has drawn harsh criticism from rights groups over the targeting of human rights activists and political dissidents across the spectrum since his appointment in June of 2017. Saudi Arabia's legislation on cybercrime has sparked concern among international rights groups in the past. Obviously. It's Saudi Arabia. I don't understand how this is new. I guess this is just a new codification of what's been going on there.
Right.
People just like to say this shit and go, oh, it's so horrible. Oh, look, this has been ongoing for so long. There's never been any sort of freedom of speech. People in these areas, it's just codifying that, look, if you go to social media and you say, let's all gather here, or, you know, the fucking government is bullshit and we're tired of a theocracy. Because, look, there's a lot of atheism that actually is prevalent in Saudi Arabia, but it's just buried because that.
I get written to all the time by people you're immediately going to be arrested and socially ostracized. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
From all these Muslim countries, but Saudi Arabia especially. Because there's like an underground there of people who understand where they are and what it is.
Well, it's a reasonably wealthy country per capita, so people there have internet access.
And there's a lot of people there who are educated.
Yeah, for sure.
But and they see through the bullshit of what Saudi Arabia is, but they're totally powerless to express it in any meaningful way in the context of the country.
Well, they face imprisonment or execution.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, even for just, I'm going to satirize it. I'm going to try to use humor to diffuse it. Nope, 5 years of prison, $800,000 fine. So fuck Saudi Arabia. Why do we continue to support this shithole country?
You might end up beheaded in the fucking public square. You do it enough.
Police say free candy van not a threat to public. All right,
that's a disturbing van to have parked in your fucking neighborhood, though.
Ottawa police have closed their investigation into a cargo van with the words "free candy" on the side panel that has caused a stir on social media when the van was spotted in Centertown, along with reports of a suspicious vehicle attempting to lure children. Police,
yeah, but you know, okay, here's the thing. Someone reported that as a suspicious vehicle, but obviously it's a fucking joke.
I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, a
free
real
candy.
A real pedophile is not going to have a van that says free candy on the side of it.
This is just
doing a meme.
So, yeah. So these people reported that, I guarantee there's no evidence they actually did that. It's just they saw this and said, oh, they're probably trying to lure children. So it's just a false story.
Police, while releasing few details, said investigators have spoken with all parties involved and determined the vehicle's registered owner is not responsible for the graffiti on the van. So apparently someone else graffitied it. Photos of the van have circulated on social media with several people voicing concerns on Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Blah, blah, blah. Police say they've investigated several incidents involving a suspicious vehicle trying to lure children. At this time, there is no concern for public safety, and the investigations are closed, police said. The free candy meme has existed online for years, with pranksters using Photoshop to superimpose the phrase over cargo vans. It is not known whether the Ottawa case involved a similar prank. So a bunch of people saw a van that said free candy, and they're like, oh, it's obviously not a joke, but legitimately a pedophile trying to lure children to the van.
Paranoid people on Facebook going, oh, no,
I'm concerned.
Yeah, whatever. It's so dumb.
Get out of here.
I love this story. Paranormal investigator fires gun at alleged ghost inside
home. Did he kill the ghost?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, he's just trying to protect that family, dude.
Melanie Lawson, only on 13's Live at 5.
A Connecticut man who told police he was a paranormal investigator faces several charges after firing shots in his house at what he told police may have been a ghost. Captain DeVoe is, goddamn,
Christian.
I can't read that fast. I'll just read the fucking article. Connecticut. A Connecticut man told police he was a paranormal investigator faces several charges after firing shots in his house at what he told police may have been a ghost.
Oh, of course.
Okay, so
Christine DeVoe, 25, is in court on September 11th on 5 counts, including the illegal discharge of a firearm, making false statements to police, second-degree reckless endangerment, misusing an emergency call, and disorderly
conduct. But if you believe in ghosts, why would you fire a gun at them? Like, what would that do?
Yeah. Ghosts?
It wouldn't do anything.
I mean, yeah, even if you are a retard who believes in ghosts. Yeah,
what is a bullet going to do?
A bullet ain't going to stop the ghost.
Dude, I've got a gun, ghost! It's like, what?
What if he believes in corporeal ghosts, dude?
Oh, okay.
I'm a solid ghost.
Yeah. His solid ghost theory.
I guess he didn't hit the solid ghost
either. This guy's
either.
Just on a different level than you, TJ.
Yeah, maybe he is. Maybe he just understands reality better
than
me.
Dude, the reason why nobody can prove that ghosts exist is because they walk among us, TJ. They look like flesh and blood.
They're fucking real,
dude. In fact,
TJ,
I died 10 years ago of a massive heart attack.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
I'm gonna shoot you, Paul.
That's right.
Ghost.
I'm the ghost of who used to be Paul's ego.
Damn. I had no idea. Crazy. The ocean cleanup is starting. Aims to cut garbage patch by 90% by 2040.
Cool.
A massive cleanup of plastic in the seas will begin in the Pacific Ocean by way of Alameda, California. The ocean cleanup, an effort that's been 5 years in the making, plans to launch its beta cleanup system, a 600-meter, almost 2,000-foot-long water floater that can collect about 5 tons of ocean plastic per month.
I hate to say that, but that's like a drop in the bucket,
dude. I don't know. I got to say something, dude.
Go ahead.
I've seen a fucking... There's a Vice documentary where they send a group of people
to the
garbage patch and shit. Yeah. Dude, it's a drop in the bucket.
It's the size of Texas.
What they're talking about is a drop in the bucket. We're adding that much to the fucking gyre every fucking year. Dude, like, there's no way. Like,
TJ, you should watch this. I know what you're talking about, dude. It's literally the size of Texas, dude.
There's no way.
It's possible for us to clean it up, but it would involve like every major nation on Earth dedicating
and we'd have
a
to stop
amount
just
resources
because like we're not. This doesn't address the problem in the first place.
Oh, no, you're right.
Of how it's getting there. So it's like as they're skimming it, all these other countries are just dumping more plastic into the ocean that's going to end up right in the gyre. So what are we going to do now?
I want to know what the hell they're. What are they going to do with the plastic they collect out of the ocean?
Probably try to recycle it.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
I mean, some of it, yeah.
Some of it,
I mean,
I dispose of it properly.
I can't, I mean, I think that it's probably not going to be that effective, but I really can't fault people for trying
I mean,
to
look,
clean this up.
Yeah.
So
we need to start firing it into space, dude. Come on, Elon Musk.
Yeah,
Turn space into our dumping ground, goddammit.
No, please, let's not do that. Let's please not do that.
Dude, let's send it all to fucking, like, Mercury or
fire
something.
Fire it at the sun!
Yeah.
Okay, well that might work.
Yeah, just fire
that shit.
What's the
fucking problem?
Hey son, you want a little tiny?
Wouldn't it be kind of expensive though, Paul?
I don't know, man. Elon Musk is working on these reusable rockets.
You think rockets are cheap?
Just get one of those in every major city.
Here's what you do.
No, I love this. I love this.
No, listen,
Scott.
No.
Hey.
do it. Let me do it. I got it. I figured it out. I figured it out. I figured it out. I know how to do it. 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 I know. Paper, rock, scissors. Paper, rock, scissors. Paper, rock, scissors.
Fair enough. All right, you
win. All right,
TJ wins.
Here's what we gotta do. You gotta get four rockets, right? Four rockets. Okay. You put a big fucking net between them. You pile the garbage on. The rockets shoot up. Because look, at a certain point, the momentum will carry the garbage.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
So they break the atmosphere. They stop. The net goes forward. The garbage flies towards the sun. The rockets return safely to the earth. Land with the net intact. It will after Elon Musk perfects that shit, dude. Now you go
Elon
ahead.
Musk is going to... Now I was just laughing. Paul's like, oh, man, the effort, there's no way it's going to work. You know what we could do, though? Let's get rockets and shoot that into space. Like, what? Your planet's even more absurd.
No, dude. Let's get a rocket in every major city.
All kinds of rockets.
Paul, do you know what the cost of that would be?
From the day up.
This is way cheaper than that.
No.
Dumping it in the ocean? Yeah, it might be cheaper.
No, I mean, trying to clean it up this way is cheaper than a rocket.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with it?
Self-refuting.
We got to send that shit to space.
You know what, Paul? I hope this motherfucker's cleaning this shit up. And Paul's on his deathbed. They're like, hey, Paul, the trash patch is 90% removed. And
you know what's
going
to happen? All the people.
Hey, look. Hey, Scotty, you laugh at me, but Ultimore 1183 from the chat says, with a strong enough net, that might actually work.
He
is an expert. Yeah. I happen to know that he is one of the world's foremost fucking scientific authorities.
Ultimore, dude.
Ultimore 1183.
Chemical materials?
Dude.
Okay, that's great.
He is. Woo! Man testified he chopped up wife's body to protect his family. Something I had to do.
Damn,
had
dude.
Had to do it.
Dude, she had a demon in
she
her.
Was a fucking
what a hero,
demon.
Dude. What a hero.
Maybe she had a fucking like xenomorph in her, dude. He had to fucking do it.
Yeah, like, what's that dude? Owen Troyer, or whatever the fuck the guy is in our cartoons.
The dude, yeah.
A man told a Kansas court on Tuesday that he chopped up his wife's body in a hotel after she killed herself to protect his family.
Oh.
Justin Todd Zombies. Ray, 36, appeared in front of a Johnson County judge to explain during his preliminary hearing why he spent 8 hours hacking Jessica Ray's body into pieces last October, the Kansas City Star reported. It's something I had to do, Ray said in court. My family is very dear to me. It's something I had to do to protect my family. This guy's a fucking hero. He deserves a medal.
What a badass, dude. He's like, look, his wife kills herself, and he's like, you know what I need to do?
Well, listen to this.
Got to chop her body
Jessica
up.
Ray gave birth to a baby in a bathtub at a Kansas City, Missouri hotel and then killed herself. Justin Ray, instead of calling the police for help, dismembered his wife's body so he could take her remains to Arizona while caring for his newborn and 2-year-old daughter. Authorities located the body parts in bags at a storage shed in Lenexa, Kansas.
She killed herself, quote unquote.
He says he's not being charged with his wife's death. So
they might want to look into that.
What?
He entered a guilty plea Tuesday for charges of 2 counts of aggravated child endangerment and 2 counts of contributing to a child's misconduct.
But they're not worried about how the dismembered
body. He was also
body?
Charged with abandonment of a corpse in Missouri. Ray had initially provided officers with conflicting reports of what happened the day his wife died.
What evidence is there that she wasn't murdered?
Dude, what kind of fucking police department is this?
Well, it's Kansas, right? Oh, well, no. he said he just dismembered her, but she killed herself.
Now, the first story he told us sounded a little fishy, but the second one he come up with sounds plausible.
He previously said she died in childbirth, but Lenexa Police Detective Shannon Murphy testified that Ray told her his wife had killed herself. After having his children pose for photographs with her body, Ray said he skinned her like a fish, according to Murphy. She said Ray flushed body parts that would not fit in containers down the toilet. Police discovered Ray and his children at a storage facility after receiving calls. The officer said Ray's daughter almost looked like she had cancer, with bags under her eyes and thinning hair. Several witnesses said the newborn also had a serious eye infection.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Talk about people that... This guy does not need to be around children.
This guy doesn't need to be around
dude, he was trying
anyone.
To save his family, dude.
But he cares so deeply about his family. And there's no way he killed his wife, dude.
Not a chance.
It's clearly that
definitely a dude that would fillet a body and flush parts of it down a toilet. You want to take his word
for it. Yeah, look, she died in childbirth.
Listen, She killed herself.
She died in childbirth. I mean, killed herself directly after childbirth.
As women often do.
Why is this guy not being fucking charged
with
murder?
It was rapid onset postpartum depression, yeah. Dude.
Ridiculous.
She got super depressed right after the birth and just slit her fucking wrists. And then he's like, well, I got to skin her and chop her up and flush her
down
the toilet and put her in a storage bin.
Yeah, dude, after a woman gives birth, the first thing she wants to do is just grab a razor.
And kill herself.
Dude, most women just can't. Most women don't walk around after they give birth.
So, yeah, this is a pretty crazy fucking story.
This dude clearly murdered this woman, dude.
How is this not Florida, by the way?
I guess Kansas got jealous, dude.
Kansas was like, man, why is Florida get to
Hey, what about us? We're
crazies?
Kansas.
Well, Kansas, man.
You don't hear much about Kansas, dude. There ain't much going on there.
Yeah. This is interesting, though. I mean, it said Missouri, so.
Oh, it was Missouri? I
thought it said Missouri.
Oh, well,
whatever. I mean, they're around the fucking whatever.
Oh, was it Kansas City, Missouri?
I think so, maybe.
Oh, well, that's right on the border of Kansas, too.
I don't know. Whatever. Who gives a shit?
You don't know anything, TJ.
At any rate, that's all the stories we have for today.
What a wacky day.
Thank you guys for tuning in. For you $10 patrons, we will be hanging out with you guys on Discord a little bit later. So, you know, stay tuned for that.
Yeah,
and
go hang out.
And we will, you know, we appreciate anyone who wants to support us on our Pessimist Productions Patreon. And we love you all, except for Papa Ghostler in
the
chat.
Yeah, he sucks, dude.
We're not a big fan of you.
Mm-mm.
Oh, and Ravens fan 842 that says TJ overrated.
I actually do like him.
You're a piece
he sounds
of shit
like
to me.
A reasonable
sounds like
chat.
A winner.
I think that they're. I mean, look, Scotty and Paul like you because
like
they're jealous of my greatness. But I happen to think you're a cunt. But the rest of you, A+, gold
they're
star.
They're just saying a little overrated, TJ.
Happy face
overrated.
On your test paper. So thank you guys for watching. We will see you on Friday for patrons with a new edition of Deep Fat Fried. Looking forward to doing that.
Same bat time, same bat place.
Mm-hmm. Spin bat channel,